So good to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Later this hour, we'll talk about how hard hit many moms have been over the course of the past year, having to cut back hours at work to be home and available to help their kids with their online learning. In other cases, losing jobs outright or having to stop working to be able to take care of kids and help them through their distance learning. Question is, what is the economic impact long-term, if there is a long-term one out of this? We don't necessarily have an apple-to-apple historic comparison to make, but we have some very smart people joining us later this hour to tell us about it, and we'll take listener calls as well. You can share your experiences if you're a mom whose job has changed dramatically as a result of all the other expectations and needs that you're facing as a result of the pandemic. But first, we turn our attention to what is one of the reasons why many women have cut back on the hours or left the workforce, and that is because of distance learning. But now we have Los Angeles County, for the first time in nearly a year, approving the full reopening of campuses for elementary school students, provided that COVID-19 protocols are met. Joining us to talk about the issue is KPECC reporter Caroline Chaplin. Caroline, thank you so much for joining us. Bring us up to speed, first of all. What is changing that allows elementary schools to potentially reopen?
Yeah, well, two things have changed. First of all, case rates have gone down sharply over the last few weeks, as we know. But the goalposts for reopening have sort of moved. It used to be that a school district couldn't reopen in-person classes in the purple tier, which we are still in Los Angeles County. Most counties in the state are still in the purple tier. But that changed in January when Governor Newsom put out this new plan for reopening schools to encourage schools to reopen for the youngest grades from TK to second grade. And he said it's actually okay to open in the purple tier as long as you reach this new threshold for positive cases. And that's 25 positive cases per 100,000 people. And as of this week, LA County has reached that threshold. So we're still in the purple tier, but now... But now we've reached a new threshold that the state has put out to reopen.
Go ahead.
So that's just the first step. That's the first step to be able to reopen.
All right. And what about specific protocols for the campuses to create safer environments to try and keep the spread of COVID-19 from being a serious problem on campus?
Right. So that's the other sort of part of this Safer Schools for All plan that the governor put out. Schools have to create a safe reopening plan. They have to, you know, put different social distancing protocols in place. They have to do air filtration things. They have to do sort of all of those, you know, basic protocols. But then they need to get their unions on board with that. And that's the main thing that's going to hold up the Los Angeles Unified School District, is that they're still working with their teachers union, that's United Teachers Los Angeles, to draft that plan. And so before they can open, they need to have sign off from the unions. And vaccinations have become a huge sticking point here. And so even though we've reached this threshold, the teachers union wants their members to be vaccinated before going back to campus. And at this point, teachers aren't eligible to be vaccinated just because they're educators.
We've seen some maps which show, you know, where schools are open, where they're closed, and they show that in less urban areas, many more schools are open than we see in urban areas of California. That's led to a particular concern about disadvantaged students falling further behind because of you know, not having access to going back to campus and insufficient access to do distance learning in the way that ideally would be done. Caroline Chaplin, KPCC reporter, joining us. So what about other LA County schools beyond LA Unified? Do we have any other sense whether districts like Long Beach and Glendale and Torrance, and whether they're going to be looking to reopen sooner than LA Unified?
I haven't been able to talk to them yet, but I think it's quite likely because even before we've reached this threshold in LA County, some schools in the South Bay were able to reopen because they had already submitted waivers and had that approved last year, actually. So they were already sort of well-positioned. They already had agreement from their unions, and they were able to reopen for the youngest grades. So I think it is very likely. And of course, we know that Long Beach is getting teachers vaccinated now. So I think it's quite likely that those districts are going to get schools to reopen earlier. And that's something that sort of the disproportionate impact of the virus is something that Superintendent Austin Buettner brought up yesterday during his weekly address. He was saying, you know, that these guidelines don't necessarily make sense because different communities have such different experiences with this virus, and that, you know, it's not going to be feasible for LAUSD to reopen everywhere when different neighborhoods are being hit so much harder.
And is there going to be some sort of oversight for schools to approve the protocols that they put in place, whether they're consistently followed? Has that been a part, to your knowledge, of the negotiations between, say, UTLA and the district, or something that's been talked about as a kind of universal inspection protocol?
I'm not entirely sure. I know that they need to have their safety plan approved by the county health department, the state health department. So I think that first step is going to be, you know, is going to be have to be checked off by those different departments. I don't know sort of like long term who's going to check that. I know that there was a Cal OSHA requirement that got tacked on. So they needed to draft sort of another safety plan and submit it to another agency. So I'm not sure in terms of like the long-term oversight, what that would look like.
Well, and presumably for teachers, their union would be a place that they would turn if they felt their schools were not keeping them safe and following the guidelines that had been agreed upon and initially approved. I would assume that unions could step in and take action on behalf of their members. I don't know if that's true also for the classified employees on campus. But Caroline, thank you very much. Appreciate your updating us on where LA County stands. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
KPCC reporter Caroline Chaplin with us, who started working here at KPCC on Air Talk, which is always wonderful to have those that have started here on the program go on to do other things with us here at KPCC. So I want to ask you, if you're a parent of a student who has returned to campus, either because you're in a private school or you're in one of the public schools outside of LA County that has at least partially reopened its campus, I want to hear what that experience has been like for you. How have they dealt with any positive tests or actual cases of COVID-19? Have they been consistent in following the safety protocols intended to keep staff and students safe? 866-893-KPECC. 866-893-5722. This is a chance to hear in other circumstances in schools in Orange County, the Inland Empire, San Diego County, Ventura County, any places where you can listen to KPECC. If you have a school that has opened, a campus that has opened at least in part, what have been the positives and the negatives of that experience for you, your child, and your family? 866-893-KPECC. It's my pleasure to welcome to the program the president of the San Bernardino Teachers Association, Ashley Bettis Alcala. Thank you very much for joining us, Ms. Bettis Alcala. Let's start, first of all, with your school district, and are you in negotiations with the district over reopening campuses?
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me this morning. So our school board actually voted to stay in distance learning through the end of the school year. And so we have not yet started our negotiation process for reopening just yet because of that decision. And our community transmission rate has still been rather high, although the county reported 33 cases per 100,000 last week. We're still awaiting to see what the update is for this week. We don't know if it's going to drop under 25, but our school board has been pretty clear about, you know, looking at our local numbers, talking, thinking about the science, and we have to remember that even if community transmission is not being increased by schools, that doesn't mean there still is an individual risk to teachers and staff who are at those schools, and especially if they haven't had access to vaccines. So we're still waiting for more of our employees to get access to vaccines. San Bernardino County has allowed for educators to get vaccines, so some of that's starting to occur right now. But we're still waiting to see how these new variants are also impacting the numbers in our local community.
Do you think your members would be willing to go back if only those 65 plus are vaccinated, or those with underlying health conditions? Or do you think your members are insistent that every teacher needs to be vaccinated before they're willing to go back to working on campus?
I think at this point, because vaccines are available, everybody who would like to have one should have access to getting one as soon as possible. Because even if we were to reopen tomorrow without the vaccine, as your reporter was mentioning, you know, we still have to have that safety plan in place. There's all other mitigation strategies that have to be in place, and we're still dealing with an airborne virus. So without the vaccine, that's another layer of protection that people don't have, even if though we have all these other safety measures we can put in place. I think, you know, it's kind of mixed amongst our members as to some feel comfortable going back, others want that vaccine. And so I think we really just have to look at how quickly can we get people to the vaccine so that we can provide that peace of mind for those that want it. And then we'll start working towards that gradual reopening, because even if we reopen, like I said, it's not going to be the same as what we normally would have seen this time last year before schools closed.
We're talking with Ashley Bitas Alcala, the president of the San Bernardino Teachers Association. She teaches first grade, by the way. I welcome your calls. I'd like to hear if you have a student, or if you are a student who's gone back to campus, either in a public school that's at least partially reopened or a private school that has at least partially reopened. What have been the pros and cons of that? How have they managed any positive COVID-19 test results? How have they mentioned any symptomatic cases of COVID-19 affecting either employees or the students on campus? 866-893-KPCC. Stephanie, in Santa Ana, I understand that you have a daughter that attends school at a Tustin district campus?
Yeah, it's a public school in Tustin called Gwynn Foss.
And how has that gone for your daughter?
It's been incredibly positive. It's a hybrid model, so we have the choice to send our children back for about 3 hours a day. It's a short day, but you know, if there's a positive test at the school, they email everyone out with a, you know, an anonymous, you know, just saying that someone tested positive. And if it's low, moderate, or high risk exposure for your child.
Okay. And have you had very many cases where you've received that message?
We've received about five in the last few months. All of the ones have been stating that it's low exposure for my daughter. So, you know, I feel comfortable having her there. It's just mostly been, you know, if there's a staff member that tested or another child.
Now, there are a total of seven students in the classroom. Is that right?
Yes, it's very small. And then there's the online presence of students as well. So it's kind of a hybrid model. It's working really great.
And do the students rotate in and out? So at different points, you've got a group of students online. They come in, and then the students who had been in the classroom, they're online. Is it a rotating thing, or the same seven students are the only ones, to your knowledge, using that classroom?
There's an AM and a PM of in person, so there are kids also, but online at the same time as kids being in the class. So the teacher does have to do a bit of juggling, but she does a great job.
All right. Stephanie, thank you so much. Appreciate your talking about your daughter's experience in a Tustin Unified School District school. With us, the president of the Irvine Teachers Association, Terry Saray. Thank you so much. Appreciate your being with us again on Air Talk.
Thank you for having me and hearing the teacher's point of view.
Yeah, definitely. So your district, if I'm not mistaken, has been open now for several months. And what are the pros and cons been of having the campuses open?
I think that our district did an extra careful job of preparing to open, in that they hired an air quality control company to assess all of the classrooms. And this is during the summer, to see what needed to be done where, HVAC systems could be changed, air filters added, et cetera. Plus, they stockpiled cleaning supplies, masks, and things like that to get ready for us to go back. It was always their plan to go back as soon as they possibly could. And we were already in session when the county went into purple. So at that point, we did not have to close. We have right now about 50% of our kids on campus for elementary and about 30% for secondary. The parents all had the option to do virtual only. So teachers did not quite get that option, but the parents did.
So the teachers didn't get, I'm surprised because I assume you have members with underlying health conditions or who are over 65 years of age. And
who met the CDC requirements as they were in the summer did get placed into the virtual academy, yes.
Okay.
But there were a number of other teachers who had family members who were vulnerable, and they did not get placed into the virtual academy. It all had to do with how many teachers did they need at which grade level for project, et cetera. So there was some of that as well.
Did you have some of your teachers, some of your members, take a leave of absence? Because I'm thinking if there was someone vulnerable in the household, they weren't able to get in the virtual academy, did they feel like they couldn't take the risk and decide they have to take leave?
Right. And some of them resigned and some of them retired early.
So this obviously has been an issue of contention in your union, I assume. And going forward, what are you anticipating for the rest of this semester? You think anything will change or not until fall?
I don't know whether anything's going to change for us. We may end up having to start fall in a similar situation. When I think about LA and some of the other districts that haven't opened yet, you mentioned earlier about the level of spread at the community, and while Irvine has a pretty low rate of infection and the county is much higher than Irvine is, only one-third of the teachers live in Irvine, and classified staff as well, I'm guessing maybe only a third live in Irvine. So they could be living in communities where it's a very high level.
Sure.
Of disease. And one of the things that really scares teachers is that parents send kids sick to school. They always have. And they're afraid that parents will not necessarily choose to quarantine their child if someone in their family has tested positive.
I assume, though, the teachers are given more latitude now to send kids home, because my understanding is when parents would send their obviously sick kids to school, it was a little tougher to send the kids out. I would assume that's made easier now.
Well, it never was hard, but now there's a completely separate protocol. There's a sick room and a regular room. So there's a whole protocol at each site about what to do if a student exhibits any of the COVID symptoms in your classroom. Teachers have been trained to recognize that.
I picture the sick room with teachers in hazmat suits or something like that. We'll continue our conversation with Terry Saray, president of the Irvine Teachers Association, and Ashley Bitas Alcala, who is the president of the San Bernardino Teachers Association. I want to hear from those of you that have sent your kids back to campus with schools that have at least partially reopened. What's been your experience with that? If you're a teacher at one of those campuses and you got a break and you're listening on your lunch break, give us a call, 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. We'll be back in 1 minute. How soon will public schools be reopening their campuses to students? That's the question we're asking. Los Angeles County public health officials have given the okay for elementary schools in the county to reopen, but that's pending them adopting safety protocols. They've also got to reach agreement with their teachers' unions. That is part of the collective bargaining process before they reopen campuses. We're very pleased to have with us leaders of two local teachers' unions, Ashley Bides Alcala of San Bernardino and Terry Surrey of Irvine joining us. But I'd like to hear from you if you're a teacher union president in another district you'd like to join us. You're a teacher anywhere here in Southern California. What your thoughts are about returning to campus. Maybe you're a teacher who already has returned to campus, at least part of the time. What's that experience been like for you? Do you feel like your concerns about the spread of COVID-19 have been well dealt with by your district? Or do you hold your breath every day when you go to campus? 866-893-5722. Also, I'd love to hear from parents. If you have a child who has at least part-time returned to on-campus instruction, what have been the pros and cons of that? Have you had many positive COVID-19 test results? How has the school dealt with that? What about symptomatic kids? Have there been some who've been sent to school, their parents not keeping them home when they obviously should have? How did the school deal with that? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Ashley, I wanted to ask you about your parents in the San Bernardino district, because I know that so many districts are getting pressure from a lot of parents. Not that it's all parents that want to come back. Many don't want to have their kids come back. But they are getting pressure from parents who do want their students to come back onto campus. And I'm just wondering how your district and how your members are responding to that.
Well, I think in our area, you know, our parents have, you know, having our board make a decision as early as they did in November to stay in distance learning, that many of our parents are, you know, working as hard as they can to meet their students' needs as they do distance learning. Our teachers are also going above and beyond to try to, you know, meet their students' needs in this current environment. And what we saw over November through over Christmas holiday and now till February was a huge explosion in the number of our children in our community that were sick. The number increased, it tripled. We had over 2,000 new cases of COVID amongst children in our school district community. And so we know that their families, too, were also seeing huge increases in number of you know, loved ones who were sick during that time. And so I think, you know, the community is really just focusing on what their immediate needs are. And when, you know, you're going through so much sickness around you, it's really difficult to try and focus on other things. And so, you know, as I talk to teachers in our district, they're just going above and beyond to meet those basic needs that our families have, whether it's getting them food, whether it's getting them access to, you know, health care, whatever it is that they need. We're trying to connect our families. And, you know, I think that some of them are maybe enjoying the distance learning. That doesn't get talked about a lot. I know it's not for all kids, but I think that as we weather through this and continue on, you know, hopefully we'll be able to reopen in the fall. That's kind of our district's goal right now, and I think our families have settled into to that idea.
JSK asks about academic progress or lack thereof. You know, what do we see about that? And you have to be concerned in your district, I assume, you know, you as a first grade teacher, that many of your students have probably fallen well behind.
You know, I think that's a concern. It's obviously brought more to the forefront now because of the current situation that we're in. My daughter is 5. She's doing transitional kinder remotely right now. And so, you know, we have to be really careful about how we're assessing students in this environment, and we're going to use that information, as good teachers do, to inform what we're doing with students, whether it's virtually or in person. And then hopefully when we do get to the summer, if we can bring kids back to in-person learning settings, and then towards the fall, that we can start to really focus in on those learning gaps that are there and start to help our students, you know, get back to the level of learning that maybe they were a few months ago, or maybe we're going to accelerate it if they have learned right now.
Jane in Irvine, I understand you have a couple of kids who went back to school full time in Irvine. How's that gone?
That's been going really well. I have a fourth grader and a sixth grader,
And before they allowed them back on campus, they were very informative to the parents of what safety measures they had in place. And they had screen shields on all of the desks and 15 kids per classroom. And I felt like they've been very vigilant about informing us if there has been other sick children or staff. I personally check the dashboard on a pretty regular basis just to see how things have been increasing or not. And in fact, my kid had a headache at school last week, and the school promptly called me and asked me to pick up my kid and told me what the protocol was for them to come back to school.
So it sounds like you're feeling pretty good, pretty confident about the execution of your school's adherence to the protocol and the follow-up on cases that have occurred.
Definitely. I feel like the information that they've provided has made me as a parent feel a lot more secure about sending them and knowing exactly what to do and what they do should they come upon kids that they're or staff that are sick.
All right. Thank you, Jane, and good to hear. I bet your students were glad to get back onto campus. I want to thank President of the Irvine Teachers Association, Terry Surrey, for joining us, and also the President of the San Bernardino Teachers Association, Ashley Betis Alcala, talking about how her district has been dealing with it. They're closed until fall. The Irvine School District has reopened with a shortened day and has been providing on-campus teaching on a voluntary basis since fall of last year. You can share your comments about kids returning to campus, elementary students, on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Want to show our appreciation for KPECC members like you. My thanks to Solomon Hinton of Los Angeles, Anita Bennett in Temple City, and Larry Robineau of Irvine. Thank you all so much for your support of KPECC. Every hour we're thanking those of you given so generously to supporting our journalism here at KPCC. I'll be back with you in just 90 seconds.